ಹರೇ ಕೃಷ್ಣ. ಜಯ ರಾಧಾ ಮಾಧವ ಕುಂಜ ಬಿಹಾರಿ, ರಾಧಾ ಮಾಧವ ಕುಂಜ ಬಿಹಾರಿ, ಗೋಪಿಜನವಲ್ಲಭ ಗಿರಿವರಧಾರಿ, ಗೋಪಿಜನವಲ್ಲಭ ಗಿರಿವರಧಾರಿ, ಯಶೋದಾನಂದನ ವ್ರಜ ಜನರಂಜನ, ಯಶೋದಾನಂದನ ವ್ರಜ ಜನರಂಜನ, ಯಮುನಾ ತೀರವನಚಾರಿ, ಯಮುನಾ ತೀರವನಚಾರಿ, ರಾಧಾ ಮಾಧವ ಕುಂಜ ಬಿಹಾರಿ, ಜಯ ರಾಧಾ ಮಾಧವ ಕುಂಜ ಬಿಹಾರಿ, ಜಯ ರಾಧಾ ಮಾಧವ ಕುಂಜ ಬಿಹಾರಿ, ಜಯ ರಾಧಾ ಮಾಧವ ಕುಂಜ ಬಿಹಾರಿ, ಹರಿ ಕೃಷ್ಣ 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 ಹರಿ ಹರಿ, ಹರಿ ರಾಮ ಹರಿ ರಾಮ 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 ಹರಿ ಹರಿ, ಹರಿ ಕೃಷ್ಣ.
ಪ್ಲೀಸ್ ಎವ್ರಿಬಡಿ,
ಹರಿ ರಾಮ ಹರಿ ರಾಮ 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 ಹರಿ ಹರಿ, ಹರಿ ಕೃಷ್ಣ ಹರಿ ಕೃಷ್ಣ 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 ಹರಿ ಹರಿ, ಹರಿ ರಾಮ ಹರಿ ರಾಮ 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 ಹರಿ ಹರಿ,
everybody please sing loud,
hare krishna hare krishna 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 hare hare, hare rama hare rama 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 hare hare, ಹರೆ ಕೃಷ್ಣ 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 ಹರೆ ಹರೆ, ಹರೆ ರಾಮ Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Jaya Jaya Jagannath Jagannath Baladev Subhadra Jaya Gauranikai Gauranikai Gauranika Jaya Gauranika Jaya Jaya Prabhupada 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 Prabhupada
श्री श्री राधा गिरिधारी भगवान की श्री जगन्नाथ बलदेव सुभद्रा माई की श्री श्री गौनिथाय की श्रील प्रभुपाद की जय हो। ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। प्लीज चैंट लाउडली। ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। नारायणं नमस्कृत्य नरं चैव नरोत्तमं देवीं सरस्वतीं व्यासं ततो जयामुदीरये। कृष्णाय वासुदेवाय देवकी नंदनाय च नंदगोपकुमाराय गोविंदाय नमो नमः। Thank you very much for inviting me to be with us, with all of you. Today we will discuss one story from Srimad Bhagavatam in brief and would like to draw some conclusions as per the story. Anyway, it doesn't matter, you can come closer. Spiritual life has no impediment materially. Yeah, you can come closer. We'll try and use our voice as much as possible. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna. This is like our life that we live in the material world. What time, what will happen, no one knows. What time, what facility will be taken away from us, no one knows. But an enthusiastic devotee is supposed to keep up his enthusiasm in spite of all the obstacles. That is what our great Acharya, our great Param Gurudev Prabhupada did. So many obstacles, so many difficulties, so many unfavorable conditions, so many actual genuine excuses that he had. But he never stopped. He had no company of devotees also to encourage him. He was alone. But still, because of the unbelievable, unsatiable enthusiasm that he had, today we are here. Today we are sitting here very honorably and happily and blissfully, and we are trying to discuss Krishna Katha. It's because of his grace, because of his zeal to fight in spite of all the odds. So this story also talks about that personality, Bali Maharaj, who also had so many obstacles in one way. So we'll narrate briefly the story. You all know Prahlad Maharaj, who was the son of Hiranyakashipu, was harassed by him like anything. And then Lord Narsingadev appeared to deliver him. And to Hiranyakashipu, he killed him. Then Prahlad had many thousands of years of reign, ruling of his kingdom. And he had a son, Virochan, who was also a pure devotee of the Lord. And Virochan gave birth to Bali, who was also a pure devotee of the Lord. But it manifested little later on. Because he was born in a demoniac family, the family of demons naturally are fighting with demigods. So he fought against the demigods, so valiant. It was explained in Bhagavatam. It was so much a veer, a chivalrous personality, that when he just came with his chariot, armed with weapons and the shield, the demigod just fled away. They could not even stand him. He was so effulgent, so powerful. Nobody could even dare to stand in front of him. Some of them fought. He defeated them, very easily. And very easily conquered over the kingdoms of demigods by displacing them. They were hiding. And he took over the position of Indra also, but not officially. So he knew that unless I perform 100 yagyas, I will not be able to officially take respectfully the position of demigods. Demigods are now been forcefully replaced by me, but I want them to accept me as their sovereign leader. So 100 yagyas were prescribed by his Gurudev, Shukracharya, who is guru of demons. And successfully he performed 99 of them. And at that time, the demigods were like totally fearful. If this man becomes king, then we'll have no position. So they went to Lord Brahma. Brahma took them to Lord Vishnu. And he promised, I will come, don't worry. So the Lord came and took birth in the womb of Aditi. And he became Vamandev, small Brahmin, Batu. And at the time of the culmination of the 100th of sacrifice, when it is going to be completed by giving donations, you have to end the yagya by giving Brahmins enough donations, satisfy them, feed them, and to receive their blessings from heart, then the yagya is supposed to be completed. That's the strategy of Agnihotra. Agnihotra is not completed without all the rules and regulations completely performed perfectly. As little flaw is there, then you lose the whole game. So like that, at that moment of time, so many sadhus came, so many rishis came, and Bali was graciously offering them so many charities, very wonderfully, very gloriously, graciously, and generously. And sure enough, Vamandev appeared there. And as soon as Vamandev came, everybody just naturally stood up. They just stood up naturally, out of great respect springing from their heart. And at that time, Bali Maharaj was also very overwhelmed to receive him. He glorified him, he worshipped him, and he said, please ask whatever you like to have. So at this moment of time, he said, what do you like to have? I would like to give you a planet. I would like to give you heaps of gold. I would like to give you whatever you want. because I am the owner of three worlds. So the Brahmin said, I want three steps of land. So after hearing from him, Bali Maharaj tells him, you appear to be very intelligent, very effulgent, very realized soul. But now after hearing you, I am convinced that you are not intelligent. You are talking like a fool actually, with have no knowledge. I have the property of all the three worlds. I can donate to you any world that you want, any planet that you want. What to speak of three steps of land? I can give you three worlds also. But what Vamandev answered that time is very, very significant for all of us, specifically Grihasthas. And of course to everybody also. Because everybody has prapancha, whether brahmachari, grihastha, vanprastha or sannyasi. Prapancha means the necessities of life, you know. We have to have food, some place to sleep, some pairs of clothes to wear. So minimum prapancha is there with everybody as long as the body is existing. So this is significant to everybody. But specifically I said for grihasthas because we have as a grihasthas tendency to accumulate, you know. Sanchai pravruti. If you keep some 1 quintal of wheat on the road, the pigeons will come, sparrows will come, the birds will come, pick up what they want till their belly is full and they'll go away. But one human being comes, he'll come with full equipment, take everything and go away. He may not be able to eat everything on one day or one time also, but he will bring everything for himself and for his family and store it. So Vamandev said that one should be happy in whatever he has as long as his needs are fulfilled. And if one is not happy in whatever he is having, then he will not be happy even if he gets the kingdom of three worlds also. And what is the proof? The proof is you. You already have three worlds with you. But you still want a position of Indra after having three worlds also. So I don't want to be like that. I will be very happy in whatever I receive. I right now need three steps of land to perform my Agnihotra and to perform my bhajan. That is enough for me. So these statements of Vamandev are eternal statements for all time to come till the life exists, till the creation will exist. And all of us, you know that our mind is in such a way designed that we have entangled in, that we have accepted as a part of our material life. The mind is always demanding more and more. No matter how much we get, we are not happy. If one stage we are in of education, so immediately we look at that stage to a little higher stage. And we want to become the higher stage. Maybe if you are MBBS, then you want to become MD. Or at least a diploma holder. Or at least a specialist of something. If you have 2-wheeler, then you may think that, you know, I may at least have 4-wheeler. The smallest of all, what I should have. Then if you get a 4-wheeler, then you think, why I have a small model? I should have a better model so I can be comfortable. If you have 1-room kitchen house, then you may feel that, you know, I should at least have a bedroom. It's too difficult to stay in today's world, you know, such a small room. If I have a D-type flat in Shantinagar, I must have smallest flat in Srishti at least, you know. Some dignified living is there. Then you feel I should have one more bedroom for my guests to come. Somehow, sometimes devotees come to my house and I should honor them nicely, treat them properly. So like that, there is always continuous pressure the mind is giving all of us. That we want this and we want this. And unless and until we are properly educated in the spiritual science about the reality of the material world, we will never be convinced that we don't need all these things. In today's world, if you analyze, whatever is happening around all of us, whatever inventions are taking place, whatever industrial development is taking place, whatever new and new research is happening, is simply based on giving you those things to you which you don't need. The whole industrial development is actually based on providing you those things and preaching you for those things which you actually don't need. Prabhupada always said when he went abroad, what a man requires is one cow, a small piece of land, small house to stay under. And that will be sufficient for becoming absolutely happy in whatever life you are living. May in our old age, we are Brahmin or Kshatriya or Vaishya or Shudra, or whatever ashram we are in, We'll be perfectly happy if we have these things. But today we can't even imagine having a cow. You know, we don't mind having a job of 8 hours. But having a cow is so difficult, you know. One time we thought of having a cow in Bhaktivedanta Hospital. And we were told that millions of flies come along with the fly, the cow, because the cow dung and urine. And it'll be difficult to have cow in the hospital. But in the village, there's no difficulty. You have a house, you have a cow shed, you have everything, courtyard in the house. Children play nicely with the calf and milk the cows, or Madhavan Prabhu. I'm very expert in all these things. They don't have any problem working barefoot in the fields. So very nicely walk around. We have difficulty in that also. So our ancient life was so simple and so satisfying actually. Today we have so much modern life in which we have created so much of pollution, in which we are only becoming unhappy. So many insecticides and so many pesticides entering into our food and spoiling our health, giving us cancers. So the modern civilization is built around giving you what you don't need. And the whole industry of marketing and advertisement, ad industry, is simply geared to tell you, please take this, you need this. Without this, your life is incomplete. If you don't have this, you are an incomplete man. Don't wear a Raymond suit, you are an incomplete man. So wear a Raymond suit, become a complete man. You know, something like that is bombarded against our minds, our eyes, our ears. Everywhere we go on billboards, it is bombarded to you. You need this, you must take this, you are incomplete, your life is unsuccessful if you don't have this. And because of this environment of bombardment, we also seem to get convinced that we need this. Sometimes devotionally speaking, we feel, I must have a good sound system in the house, because now I have Prabhupada's lectures, now I have Bibi Govinda Maharaja's kirtans, now I have got Indradvana Maharaja's kirtans, I must have a very good RMS output of my speakers, so I can hear nicely. So even within the devotional life, because we are not pure devotees, we still get bombarded. So within the devotee circle also we see some people are coming barefoot, some people are coming on cycles, some people are coming on scooter, some people are coming in four-wheelers, some people are very rich and they are coming in Mercedes, and some people are donating millions of rupees, some people are donating hundreds of rupees. So even within the devotional circle also we have so much of pressures that our mind is giving to us, not that devotees are giving us. Our mind is telling us, even I can become like that and remain a devotee. Look at Ambarish Maharaj, such a wonderful example. He had such a property, and look at Yudhishthir Maharaj, look at so many kings in the past, how perfect kings they were in Krishna consciousness. So I can also become a perfect devotee by having all these facilities, so that, you know, I don't have to be in anxiety. But the principle which Vamanadeva is telling us by the way of telling Bali Maharaj is that the real fact is, if we do not learn to be happy and content in what we have today, then tomorrow even if we get property of the three worlds, you will not be happy. Because we see people in the world, recently we heard about Michael Jackson, you know, in our childhood he was a hero. Everybody was mad. In fact, people were wearing t-shirts and so many items to show that I love Michael Jackson. And he had such property, you cannot imagine. He owned an island actually. He can own an island, you know. A big part of the earth as his own. And he owned a yacht which was like, we can build 10 Bhaktivedanta hospitals and 10 Radhakirdari mandirs with our own plan. One yacht owned required that much of money. And so much of property, so much of money. But he was so unhappy with all those things that we feel we'll become happy. He had all those things, and what was his life? He was a frustrated person, he had no relationships, no stable family life, and he had so many scandals, and at the end of his life he had some billions of dollars of loan, debt he had before he died. Such a miserable death that even a pauper on the road will not like to die like this. What about speaking of a millionaire person? And then we can give you hundreds of millions of examples like this. The material world is actually a storehouse of such examples. Wherever you go, we'll hear such example, you know. The point is, because the mind is not happy in whatever you have. The mind is not looking down that I have something more than so many people in the world. Mind is always looking up that I don't have that which this man has. Even among devotional circles also, we think like this. So we must convince our mind, and that takes a lot of effort. Unless and until our mind is thoroughly cleansed by the process of Krishna consciousness, we cannot actually come to this conclusion, because the mind is undergoing three modes of material nature. It is under the influence of Sattvaguna, Rajaguna and Tamaguna. And Sattvaguna also is a very rigid anti-Krishna conscious guna. Somebody is very pious, very truthful, very clean, very knowledgeable. He becomes entangled in the pride of all those things. And still the mind is uncontaminated. Still you cannot reach Krishna, because your pride of your own cleanliness and your knowledge and your simplicity and your straightforwardness is the obstacle between you and the Lord. And then comes the passion, which is a very active mode on the mind. It doesn't make the mind rest in peace. Constantly it makes the mind work to get so many things, work hard day and night, slog, sweat, foam at the mouth to attain so many things, because you want so many things. The world is preaching us again and again, you must work hard. If you don't work hard, what kind of human being you are? You're a lazy bum. And we are pushed and pushed by the mode of passion to work hard, like an ass, Prabhupada says, foaming at the mouth for a little grass, which is available anyway free of charge. And in the mode of ignorance, there is a revengeful attitude. He took away from me, so I will take a revenge. I lost this because of him, so I will show him that he also will lose things because of my activity. And then there is a temptation of taking intoxications. When we get frustrated, unhappy, we want to forget that by taking a drink or smoke, and then take addictions. And revengeful attitudes and envy are the manifestations in the mode of ignorance. That is also haunting us. At any given moment of life, we are under the influence of mixture of these three modes. Sometimes we are devotees, and maybe Sattvaguna will influence your mind. And you will go little time in the transcendence with the devotees. When you go home, immediately the neighbors and the family around you, immediate family, will put you in the mode of passion. And we go to workplace, maybe your colleague will disturb you and you will become in vengeance mood. And because of that, constantly we remain unhappy. And the main reason of being unhappy is because our mind is mainly influenced by the mode of passion. Maybe because we are devotees, we chant Hare Krishna, follow some principles. We may not go into revengeful mood and the actual hardcore structure of mode of ignorance. But mode of passion is there, haunting us constantly. That we want this and we want that. Our mind is not happy and satisfied. So the process of Krishna consciousness is recommended for what reason? So that we get completely cleansed from within. The mode of passion is wiped off from the mind. And we remain at least in the mode of goodness. And in the mode of goodness, when we remain and when we perform our sadhana, we chant Hare Krishna and serve the devotees and the Lord, then the mode of that particular activity in the mode of goodness will help us to transcend the mode of goodness and go in the mode of transcendence, Divya Guna. And in that situation, we can expect ourselves to get purified. That is why, till the time we are in sadhana bhakti, we always get up and down. Go up and down, up and down, up and down, keep swinging. Sometimes very looking like very enthusiastic in Krishna consciousness, in chanting, getting up in the morning, and sometimes we are down. And these all ups and downs of sadhana also sway us ups and downs in the modes of material nature. Please understand this. It's not just, you know, today we are down, so we are neutrally down. It's not like that. When we are down, we are haunted with sex desire, haunted with desire for money, haunted with desire for position and everything. And next day we are very nice in the morning, we get up our early morning, chant our rounds with devotees, then we feel everything is insignificant. Why we are working so hard? Again in the evening, we feel, no, I must earn some more to get myself well situated. So these positions, these situations will remain like this till we take Krishna consciousness as a priority of our life. So another lesson, the first lesson that we learn from this story is, we must somehow or other, by hook or crook, with the help of Krishna consciousness, with the help of company of devotees in the Krishna consciousness, try to be happy in whatever we have. And one of the practical solutions to this, if whenever we are unhappy with whatever we have, please don't look up, look down. If you are unhappy when you have two-wheeler, motorcycle, You look to people who come on cycle, bicycle. When you are unhappy, when you have one bedroom all kitchen, look to the people who live in Jhopatpatti and still chant Hare Krishna and still come to temple. When we have less bank balance, you see people are having loans and till 50 years of age, but they are still blissful devotees of Krishna and try to console our mind. That's one way of looking at it. And second way, to make our disturbed mind, unsatisfied mind pacified, is to count on our blessings. What all nice things have happened in our life. Although undeserving, so many things have come to our life. We didn't deserve the holy name of the Lord. We have not done tapasya, we have not gone to Himalayas, giving up our family, money and education and position in society. We are still living nicely. And one fine day devotees have come chanting and dancing at my doorstep and preached me against my will, and I took holy name, and now my life is totally changed. Now I have such a beautiful way of looking at life. I have been enriched with education of the realities of life. I am better equipped of the problems of life and how to solve the problems of life. And so many things we have not done, but still the Lord is blessing us again and again. Actually speaking, I realize this, that when I have taken up Krishna consciousness, actually the best people in my life I met in Krishna consciousness only. Not in my medical profession, not in my caste, who is a Brahminical caste, not in from my hometown, not from my locality in Bombay. I have met best people, who are really best people, in only Krishna consciousness. And what best they are in? What are they best in? They are best in that they are not having any motivated purpose of being with me. Whenever I am with them, I don't feel that they are motivated to exploit me. The only category of people in life you can meet who are selfless in dealing with you are devotees of Krishna. No one else I have met in my life where I can say that they are not Krishna conscious, but they are still selfless to me. No one, even in the most immediate family members, they cannot be selfless to you. There is some motivation there. So second way of, I just enumerated some blessings that we have. If you individually, all those who have accepted Krishna conscious life, peep in your life and meditate, you will come to know there are maybe hundreds of blessings that we have received, although not being qualified or not have been working hard for that. They have just come upon us. Some people are born in, maybe categorically from government point of view, in OBC or Shudra category by birth. But by the blessings of Prabhupada and Krishna consciousness process, they have become Brahmins now. They worship deities. Now we go abroad and see South Africans, Chinese, people, you know, who are supposed to be born, the countries are in such a way that they also eat insects. Such lowly, they are not even Shudras, they are below Shudras by birth, by the culture that they have. But these people have been raised to a platform of Brahminism, Vaishnavism, and they handle deities. The Supreme Personality of Godhead was appeared in the Vigraha. They are handling them, they feed them, they dress them, they bathe them. Such an elevation. This is a blessing. Simply by the blessing of a pure devotee. So one way of pacifying a dissatisfied mind is to look down upon those people who don't have facility that we have, and we can console ourselves and also count on blessings. If you have great misery in life, start counting your blessings. This way we can be happy. So this is one lesson that we can learn, that we need to be happy in whatever we have. And the second lesson we can learn is, I'll narrate to you first. But actually speaking, when Bali Maharaj was told by Vamandev that one can be happy, one should be happy, whatever he has, his Gurudev whispered in his mind, in his ear, please don't say anything yes to him. He is Vishnu. He has come to take everything away from you. He will make you a pauper. He will make you a beggar. Don't say yes to him. And what is the effect on Bali Maharaj's mind? Oh, if he is Vishnu, very good, he has come to my doorstep. I am honored that Lord Vishnu has left Vaikuntha and come to my doorstep to ask for alms like a Brahmin. I must not lose the opportunity. So he even disobeyed his Gurudev's so-called good instruction from demoniac point of view, from demon's point of view. And what he did, he still accepted the donation that he asked for. That I will give you. And he gave water saying the mantra, yes, I will offer you. And at that time, all of you know the story, everybody knows the story, how Vamandev assumed gigantic form. And two steps, he covered everything that he had. Every single penny that he claimed to have materially was possessed by Lord Vamanadev in only two steps. And in within one moment, before that one moment, Balli Maharaj was the owner, sole Anabhishikta. That means, you know, that on his own, he was owner of this all 14 planets. Richest man, most respectable from position point of view, from wealth point of view, from respect point of view, from all points of view. He was the most respected personality. And next moment, as soon as Vamandev took the two steps, he was a beggar. He didn't have any position, didn't have any respect. And what happened in his case was, all this happened not in the private room with Vamandev. It happened in public assembly. In that assembly, even the demigods were watching from the skies. Even his own kinsmen, those who respected him, they were watching him. First of all, they were very struck with awe and reverence. Our king is so great. And then they saw Vamandev coming. They were awestruck. And the Guru Maharaj was there. Also, their wives were present. Especially, Balli Maharaj's wife also was present. What was her name? Ratnamala? Huh? Vidyavali. She was there. So you can imagine, for a respectful person to be insulted in front of his own wife and own kinsmen. So all this happened in front of whole the assembly of people, and plus his enemies also were watching very blissfully from the skies, the demigods. And then he asked, what about third step? So now he understood that nothing is remaining now. I must keep my word as Kshatriya. So he offered his head. That means he offered his own self, his own self dignity, self respect. And Vamandev pushed him. From material point of view, he pushed him to the hell. But we know from the scriptures that what actually happened. And before that, when he was unable to give anything else, he was tied up with creepers and being dragged as a prisoner. So materially he was most humiliated at that. See, a person who has honor, only he can understand what dishonor is. We are very small people, you know, we don't have so much honor to get dishonored. But a person like Balli Maharaj was so much honorable, so much respectable, to be dishonored like this in the assembly of people was worse than death also. But scriptures explain us that Balli Maharaj was extremely blissful when he was being dragged by the soldiers of Vamandev. I think Varun Pash, he was tied with Varun Pash. Varun Dev was, you know, he made him captive. We cannot even imagine that agony if we were the king like that. But contrary to this expectation of his being frustrated, he was very blissful. Because he knew that I am in front of my Lord. He had that courage to even disobey his Gurudev. Because his top priority of life was to be surrendered to the Lord. He didn't care what his Guru felt. Of course, this is not a guideline for us that we should disobey our Guru Maharaj whenever we want. There is a guideline that we should only disobey, we have right to disobey him only when he gives a contrary instruction to us against our Krishna consciousness. He gives us instruction contrary to our goal of life. Then only we can disobey. And Shukracharya actually did that. When the goal of life, Sri Vishnu was in front of him asking for some service, Guru Maharaj was dissuading him, don't say yes to him. That's why he, on the basis of perfect Krishna consciousness, he disobeyed him. So he disobeyed him, so much it requires courage, you know. Because Shukracharya also very powerful personality. He cursed him that you will become a beggar. He said, I don't mind becoming a beggar if I am attaining the mercy of the Lord. How many of us are prepared like this? If we are ripped apart, ripped away with all the possessions of our life, and we are told we will get mercy of the Lord. How many of us will be ready? Yes, I am ready for it. We'll think twice, you know. Maybe I can take it easy now. I can get it little later on, there's no problem. I am anyway Krishna conscious, I am anyway a devotee, I need chant Hare Krishna. So I may defer it for some days. You know, why should I have such a severe event, intense event night now only? It is still time, you know. But Balli Maharaj, although externally he was a demon, externally he was performing 100 yagyas to achieve the position of Indra, But he was a devotee by nature. He was Prahlad Maharaj's son, and although born in a demonic family, he was a devotee at heart, like Vibhishan also. And that is why he could say no to his guru and still say yes to Vishnu. And that is why he was able to enjoy transcendental bliss even though dragged very insulting way by Varuna. Because he had decided that top priority of my life is to be God conscious. And that's why Vamandev was very proud of him. And because he kept his priority as number one to be Krishna conscious, how did Vamandev reward him? He became his doorkeeper. Instantly he made or created a planet which was better than even Indra's. Sutal Loka, where he was pushed in, is declared to be much, much higher than even Indra Loka also. Indra did not have so many facilities and so many opulences that Sutal Loka provided him. And not only Lord just gave him Sutal Loka, but he went one step ahead to express his gratitude, to express the reward of his surrender. He became his doorkeeper. It is explained in his mother's scriptures that Lakshmi Devi was worried. What happened to my husband? He went down to become Vamandev to perform pastime. He didn't come back. Pastime is already over. Where is he? So she came searching and she came to know that he is doorkeeper at the palace of Vamanadev. And she came to know that there are the palace of Bali Maharaj has many gates. And Bali Maharaj decides to go as per his own will from different gates every day. And my husband Vishnu is running from gate to gate, panting and sweating, to be there before the king comes, decides to come from the particular gate. So Lakshmi Devi went and requested Bali Maharaj, I have only one request to you. You please go by only one gate, so that my husband doesn't have to run around here and there. Huh? Can you see the kind of humility the Lord has to respond to a devotee's priority? This is an example for us. We should be very, very blissful to hear this example. Because person who keeps Lord Krishna as number one priority in his life doesn't have to fear anything in life. That means he says, Tava Asmin, what is the meaning of top priority? I belong to you, my Lord. I am yours. You do anything to me in my life, but I will not give you up. What do we learn in the 8th shloka of Shikshashtakam? You crush me, my Lord, or you embrace me, you apparently give me benedictions or apparently take away everything from me, I will never leave you, my Lord. Mat prana nathas tu sa eva na paraha. You will always remain my worshipful Lord unconditionally, means what? With no conditions. You will remain my Lord, worshipful Lord, only when 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 things are fulfilled by you. Not like that, sir. Unconditionally means you do anything what you want. I have such faith in you, my Lord, that even if you apparently appear to be crushing me to pulp, still it is glorious for me, it is good for me, it is beneficial for me. That kind of faith is expressed in such kind of prayers. And to such a devotee who has such kind of faith in him, the Lord is emotionally overwhelmed. The Lord cannot sit quietly. The Lord could have gone after pushing him to Sutal Loka, giving him all the benedictions and opulences of higher than Indra Loka. He could have left to his abode. But the Lord was waiting there to express his love and gratitude to his devotee. One who has undergone so much of insults and still blissfully accepted the insults, at least when he was on top of earth, right? Before getting crushed down, he was insulted to everybody. Everybody was feeling hopeless. Ratnamala, the sister of Bali Maharaj, became so enraged, you know. She said, I will take revenge of this particular Vishnu. First, she was very much attracted to the beauty of this boy. So she wished I should become mother of this child. And when Vamanadev, you know, crushed the pride of Bali Maharaj, she felt I must kill this child. So she became Putana in the next incarnation. So she became like mother, she fed the child with milk, but she wanted to also kill the child. But still the Lord gave her the position of Dhatri. So you can imagine this Lord that we are dealing with, what kind of personality is. In the middle of so many negative things that a person may have, If one positive thing is there, the Lord will only accept that. So in the case of Putana, although she wanted to kill him mercilessly, she had killed millions of children before that, maybe hundreds of them. But he accepted only one factor, she fed me milk like a mother. That only he accepted, and with the touch of his lotus lips, she got completely purified, and what remained was that service which she offered to the Lord, and with that result of service which remained, she became Dhatri, the maid servant of Yashoda Mata. So we should not fear that what will happen if I lose money, what will happen if I lose my position, what will happen if I lose my dignity. The Lord knows perfectly. So second lesson, I feel very powerful lesson from this story is that keep our priority Krishna in our life. Because the material world is always frustrating. How much ever faith you keep in the material world, how much ever faith you keep in your intelligence to earn money and to gain good position in society and your material life, it will always ditch you. And at the wrong time it will ditch you. We may not even expect the most unforeseen, unexpected times. You will see that your intelligence, your position and your material life will completely cheat you and will be nowhere. But when you will surrender to Krishna and keep Him as top priority, then in all conditions of ups and downs, all conditions of success and failure, apparently we are successful. Because to such a devotee, the Lord sells Himself. We have example of Sridhar Kolavecha, we have example of Shuklambar Brahmachari, we have examples of Sudama Vipra, and so many devotees who apparently were, nobody of us will like to become like them. Who will like to become like Sudama Vipra? Was shaking with hunger, you know, constantly shaking with hypoglycemia. So I don't want to become, devotee, but at least I should have good prasad. My glucose level should not go down so much that I have to shake, you know, even talk one line of statement. But what was his position when he went to Dwarka? Lord Krishna left his throne, came running to the gate, picked him up from there, embracing, put him on his asana, made his wife wash his feet. And just by doing that, accepting his ship rice, he became wealthier than anybody. But still he did not expect that wealth to come. Just see, he never came for that wealth actually. The Lord just bestowed upon him. Sridhar Kolavecha was such a person, such a pauper, he had more holes than cloth in his dhoti. He had more holes than, his roof, had more holes than substance on the roof. Such poverty, you cannot imagine such poverty actually. People would feel that, you know, he is hungry in the night. That's why he is shouting Hare Krishna out of hunger, because he can't sleep because of hunger. And such a person, when Lord called him to give blessings to him, benedictions to him, in the very beautiful night of Mahaprakash, in the day, what he said, I will give you 8 mystic siddhis by which you can just think and achieve anything that you want. Maybe many of us will get tempted immediately. I will get those things, at least for Krishna's sake, I will get those things. To become successful in Krishna consciousness, at least, I will like to get those things. Who will like to reject such a proposal? Today also we stand in front of Giridhari and we say, oh my Lord, I don't want anything, you can crush me. But suddenly you hear in the voice, I am going to give you $1 billion. Yes, yes, my Lord, I will take it. Immediately you will take it, you know. Because we may practice devotional service, but it will take long time to get that into the core of our heart. And we will be tempted. But here, in front of the very beautiful personality of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Kolavecha was standing and Lord was telling him, he was not asking Lord. Lord was telling him, take 8 mystic fold siddhis. Ashta siddhis, I give you benediction. Actually, if you have start describing what the Ashta siddhis are, you know, we will be completely mesmerized. Anyway, this is not a time to describe that. But what Kolavecha Sridhar said, why you are offering this, my Lord? It is simply a disturbance. Whenever I hear this statement in the drama of Sridhar Kolavecha, I get completely bewildered. Every time I hear the statement, it's just a disturbance. How can it be a disturbance? It's a pleasure for us to have money, to have position, to have, you know, so many wonderful things in life we are hankering for, our senses are working hard to get those things. And he's saying it's a disturbance. When it is freely available to you, not even asking. Because his priority of life is Sri Krishna's devotion and nothing else. That is why he can say that. He is to the brim and to the bottom of his heart, as a soul, He is convinced that I want only and only and only and only Krishna and nothing else. That is top priority. No mixed priorities, only top priority, that I want only Krishna. And in front of that, anything else tempting, attractive, offered to you and us is not wanted. If that is going to take away Krishna. Ambarish Maharaj and Yudhishthira Maharaj and everybody else accepted so much of wealth and power because they did not disturb them in their Krishna consciousness. And what is the proof of that? When Krishna left, even immediately Pandavas also left with them, dropping all the opulences behind immediately, instantly. Parikshit Maharaj also, instantly when he was told that he was going to die first after 7 days, he dropped everything instantly and went away as a mendicant. Because from the core of their hearts, they were 100% Krishna conscious. In wealth and without wealth. All the situations of life. And my dear friends, please understand, it is not impossible for us. It is difficult, no doubt about it. But as we hear the stories of Bhagavatam and Chaitanya Charitamrita and hear the examples of so many beautiful devotees, we have encouragement. We have hope. Like when we see Madhai, we see Samadhi of Madhai in one village in Navadvip, we get very great hopeful. What is the hope? That even though I am most fallen and most sinful and my credentials are all negative, still I have a hope that Lord Chaitanya may give blessing to me and I may be delivered. Only if I make him top number one in my life. Even in our most miserable condition of life also, if we keep Krishna as number one priority, if we are most successful and affluent and we keep Krishna as number one priority, then only Krishna comes to us. It's not only when I am pauper and most frustrated, I keep him number one priority. Well, anyway, I don't have anything. How should I be attached to? No, it is balanced. The priority of life is balanced in both the conditions of life, that in spite of any conditions changing in my life, my priority is Sri Krishna. Then Krishna is attracted to that devotee. Then it becomes in unalloyed category. Unalloyed by wealth or unalloyed by poverty. Unalloyed by respect and disrespect. Whatever comes, he is happy in Krishna consciousness. So when such kind of situation comes, then our life will always remain blissful in spite of changing conditions of life. Who will not like to have this condition? Tell me. All of us will like to have a condition of happiness irrespective of changes taking place in our life. And sure enough, in material life, whenever we are living a material life, or professional life, or a simple life, or educated life, or uneducated life, whatever life you are living, we are guaranteed that there will be umpteen number of changes in our life. Actually, the only constant thing in our life is a change. That's the only constant thing. It's always changing. Things are always changing. Our Guru Maharaj also came and told us, one time we were students, now we are married, now we have women, now we have wives, now we have children, and now we have jobs to do and we have to meet two ends. So many changes in life. But what is the actual essence of Krishna consciousness? Is to keep up with your Krishna conscious duties as number one priority in all changing conditions of life. Whether we are sick or healthy, we should do the same routine. Whether we are in a respectful position, whether we are in an insulted position, the same routine should not be disturbed. Whether we are beautiful or ugly, it should remain the same. Because today we are beautiful, tomorrow we get an accident, we may become very ugly looking with so many scars on face. And so many things may go away from us and so many things may come to your life. But the glory of a devotee is if he continues to chant Hare Krishna every day, follow four regular principles, do his service to devotees, irrespective of all the changes of life, then he can be said to be situated in pure devotional service. And that is not impossible, that is possible. With the company of sincere devotees, all these things are possible. And when we actually live like this, we actually become immune to all the affecting changing situations. Because these things are very powerful. When inflation takes place and when depression comes, things are quite topsy-turvy. People go from here to there, lose sometimes crores of rupees, hundreds of crores of rupees are lost sometimes, sometimes you gain hundreds of crores of rupees and you get elated so much. Material world is very bewildering actually. Material world, the higher and higher you go, the more swaying you have, you know. Like the tree, the smaller the tree is, it shakes a little. The tree is tall, When the breeze comes, you appear to be having, the tree moves like this. So higher you go in the material life, the more swaying is there by the modes of material nature. But if our root is in Krishna consciousness, then we can be steady. That's why I urge you, all of you, that when everything is fine, when health is okay, when we have a reasonable amount of wealth, when we had reasonable amount of food to eat, good clothes to wear, and mind is also peaceful, not very disturbed, not very big diseases are disturbing you, at that time we should resolve that I must keep Shri Krishna as number one priority of my life. Because when we get diseased or when we get insulted, when we are in the negative conditions of life, maybe the mind is not in a very strong condition to decide like this. But when things are all right, when things are okay, like King Kulushekar says, we should accept Krishna as number one priority at that time. Make a decision. This is what my decision is and I want to live like this. Because he says that when I will come to the moment of death, when Kapha Vata Pitta will occlude my throat and I will not be able to chant your holy name, what is the use of my life? Now that everything is fine, everything is apparently all right, you know, stable so called, let me surrender myself to the Lord. And in a healthy mind we can take that decision. And if we have taken that decision in a healthy condition of life, then when health goes away, you can still keep up the decision. Whatever you have earned, Krishna consciousness point of view, when you are all right, will come to your rescue when you are in difficult conditions. It's like the gymnast who is there, he will work hard when he is not having competition. When there is off competition time, he is practicing constantly. Only then he can perform in the competition. Or when there is no war going on, the soldiers are constantly practicing. You will find it's foolish, you know, why they are shooting and why they are practicing. There is no war going on now. But throughout the years, after years, they will keep practicing. And when the war comes, they will perform best. So we have to also understand, if we should not start practicing Krishna consciousness very strongly when difficulties start coming to your life. It's good to do that. But it is more wiser to practice Krishna consciousness with great conviction and great efforts when things are apparently all right. Because no one knows when the storm will come. We cannot start like municipality of Bombay is so expert, you know. They start preparing for the floods even one day before the floods. How can it be possible? Next day definitely you have floods. And how much of our claim you do? Because they don't start preparing when there is absolute peaceful time. They start preparing when the danger starts coming. It's like Marathi me bolte na, when you become thirsty, then that time you start digging up the well, you know. You will not get water immediately. You will wait for some time. So this, the Bali Maharaja's example is a very inspiring example. He was born in demon family, so we cannot say, okay, my family, you know, we are not raised in Brahminical family, what to do, you know, our culture is very bad, I can't become a devotee of the Lord. So he has proved, like Vibhishan, caste, creed, birth, aristocracy does not determine your Krishna consciousness. If you are determined, you can be Krishna conscious in all conditions of life, as we said in the beginning of our discussion, that no obstacle can obstruct you from the progressing in Krishna consciousness. No material obstruction, Rupa Goswami has said, will obstruct you from progressing in Krishna consciousness. In essence, I may give excuse, you know, what to do, I cannot perform, I don't have a vehicle, how can I go to police precinct? I don't have money, how can I do this service, that service? But actually speaking, no material impediment can stop you from advancing. So Bali Maharaj has proved either way. And he also proved us that one can choose Krishna as number one priority in the most difficult, odd conditions of life. Who can go in this condition of Bali Maharaj and still say, yes, I will surrender to you, whatever you want, I'll do. He has exemplified us. No material calamity can discourage you from surrendering to Krishna. No material calamity can do that. If you have conviction, if you have faith, if you have good association, in the most awkward condition of life, you can remain Krishna conscious. We have example of Stoka Krishna Prabhu, who was there in Bhaktivedanta Hospital, 31-year-old young man, having very severe cancer of lungs, it's called adenocarcinoma, most worst kind of cancer, spreading wild, like wildfire in the body. Just married, wife pregnant a few months. Can you imagine? He can keep crying the whole day and whole night for whole months together. What is this? And you expected this to happen. But he told me, I must tell you this story. Me and Madhavanand Prabhu went to see him in Hinduja Hospital. And we were wondering what to speak to him. We are not trained to speak. What I will speak to him when I will go to see him in Hinduja Hospital. Yesterday evening he was diagnosed of that cancer. Confirmed diagnosis. And we were meditating, discussing, and we reached, by the way, to Hinduja Hospital, and we reached also to his bed. And he was smiling, big smile, you know. Shocked to see, how can a person smile? So we asked him, Prabhuji, how you are smiling? You know, yesterday only you were diagnosed of a death warrant. So he told the whole story to me. This story is very interesting to hear. It tells us that if you are convinced of remaining Krishna conscious, Krishna will also help you, and we also can remain Krishna conscious in spite of the most odd conditions of life. So he said, Prabhuji, remember I had come to Barsana I camp, and I was just married that time. He was just married that time, 1 month only, and he came to Barsana I camp with his newly wedded wife, and they were working in an operation theater, serving the Brajbasis, and he had some cough. So that time we had some medical support, so we gave him cough syrup, and he was suppressed, but he still kept coughing. He came back to Bombay after the camp. But while he was serving in Barsana I camp in Radharani's dham, he prayed to Radharani, he please give me the taste in chanting the holy name of yours. Whenever I chant the holy name, I want the taste. Please, even if I were to get cancer, please do that to give me the taste of the holy name. So, we have to understand that Krishna listens to our prayer. He came back, he came to physiotherapy, still it was paining him here, so they gave him some physiotherapy. Means something, bony problem, muscular problem, causing him pain in the upper chest, which was soon diagnosed as cancer in the upper part of the lungs. It was not physiotherapy, not muscular problem, it was cancer. So that day, the previous evening when we, Madhavanand Prabhu and we went to Hinduja, he was given diagnosis of that. That night he slept, he was thinking, in the middle of the night, the neighboring patient was coughing loudly. At 3 in the morning, he woke up. And he said, the moment he woke up with that sound, he just struck to him, that just struck him, that I had prayed to Radharani to give me cancer if I were to get taste of the holy name. And now I am sure that I will get the taste of chanting the holy name, because now the cancer has come. Radharani has responded to my prayer. And that is why I am very blissful. Can you imagine? How a devotee thinks. He said, from 3 o'clock in the morning, we were at 7 o'clock in the hospital. So I have not slept from 3 o'clock. I am absolutely blissful. So the fact that Radharani has heard my prayers and she has responded to my prayers, now I am sure to get the taste of the holy name of the Lord. This is only possible in Krishna consciousness. Please understand, my dear friends, this kind of consciousness of gratefulness, happiness, blissfulness, in the middle of worst crisis of our life, is possible only if one is Krishna conscious. So it's all for us to gain. If he was crying all the time, what to do, my wife is very just now married, baby is going to come in a few months, who will look after them? And sure enough, everything was taken care. All his so-called questions were answered, and he very blissfully and peacefully, in the middle of Brijbasis and Radha Gopinath temple Ramacharis chanting, Radha Gopinath temple had Brijbasi guests, they came to my house and they heard Sukha Krishna is already gone to temple to leave his body. They rushed from my house straight to temple and they did hours of kirtan. And in the middle of their singing kirtan, Gurudev holding his hand, all his Brahmachari friends surrounding him, he was watching the lotus feet of Radha Gopinath ji, he left his body. In the most awkward condition of life, one can be extremely elevated Krishna consciousness. This is possible. If we are seeing next to us all this example, it is quite possible. But only possible with the help of sincere devotees. If you are surrounded by sincere devotees, then this kind of things are possible. But for that, my dear friends, you have to understand, when everything is fine, you have to declare that Krishna, you are my top one priority. You have to decide yourself much in advance. Okay, this is my decision, my Lord. You are number one priority in my life. And please give me strength to remain, to keep you in the same position all throughout my life. I may be, you know, topsy-turvy and affected by so many situations in life. I am not a very amito kangala. I am a weak devotee. But you please see that my resolution remains always in the same intensity available in my life. So these wonderful stories of Srimad Bhagavatam carry on in the lives of examples of devotees, in our life also. Don't think that Bali Maharaj did his. No, Bali Maharaj was a great soul, yeah. How can I compare with him? No. Srimad Bhagavatam continues to happen. It continues to go on happening continually to give us inspiration. We may not give an excuse. It was Ambarish Maharaj. It was Yudhishthira and Arjun. It was Parikshit Maharaj. It was not. How can I compare? No, people like you and me also exemplify to us. We have so many examples like Chaitanya Ananda Prabhu who left his body in Vrindavan. So many other devotees are there now also who are giving us this strength and hope that if we keep Lord Sri Krishna as number one in our life, He will respond to us and He will come to our rescue the most odd hour of our life. I'll give a small other example and end my today's story. There was one devotee called Madhav Das, you know, not in Gaudiya Sampradaya. He was in Jagannath Puri and in the middle of the night he was near the ocean and he had severe gastroenteritis. That is called a Sangrahani in Sanskrit language. Sangrahani means you pass so much water that you can't even stand again. You are there only. So he passed so much of vomiting and so many of those motions that he was just in the middle of the night in lonely bank of ocean in Jagannath Puri. And suddenly a boy came and helped him and cleaned him. So he said, "My Lord, please reveal me. Please come to your original form." He said, "Which Lord? What Lord you are talking about? I am from this village." He said, "Who can come in this middle of the night in the most dangerous condition like this? And I was passing motions and I was calling your name. Who else can come if I call your name, my Lord?" And then the boy revealed himself into Jagannath. Boy revealed himself as Lord Jagannath. Because Lord also cannot hide from a devotee. The Lord may disguise himself. The devotee will make him appear because of love. Because when in that condition of, you know, life and death situation, Madhav Das was remembering Jagannath and calling him, not for material rescue, just as a impetus from the heart, he was calling the Lord. How can Lord not come when a devotee is calling sincerely from the heart? He could have said, "What is this? I am having motions. So many years I served Krishna as top priority of my life and now I am in the middle of the ocean here, nobody to help me. This useless devotional life I have lived whole life. It's all fruitless and useless. Let me just give up this once and for all." He didn't say that. He said, "No, in all conditions of my life, my Lord, you are my life and soul." And the Lord cannot resist. The Lord will have to leave his temples and run to respond to the devotee and to make everybody else feel that, yes, Krishna consciousness works. If I take a risk of keeping a person top one priority whom I have not seen up till now, whom I have not personally interacted with, it's a big risk of life. You know, people, you are actually doing a foolish venture in compared to the people in the world. They will feel, what kind of basis? You have not met the person, you are taking his name, you don't even have interaction with him. To that person, you are not only making friends, but making him top priority of life. But spiritually speaking, at every moment of our life, you will get responses from the Lord. Every moment of our life, even if you have not become a pure devotee of the Lord, Lord will give you reciprocations. Otherwise, how a devotee will make progress in Krishna consciousness? If only at the end when you become pure devotee, only you'll get revelations and nothing will happen in between. You will just give up in between. No, sir. We will all get responses from the Lord every moment in our life. Every day when you get up in the morning and chant Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare, we will get responses from the Lord. We will get revelations in the heart. We will feel the bliss of Krishna coming in the form of the holy name in our lives, purifying our hearts and giving us bliss and hope in our life. So we should not worry that things are going so many ways in our life which we didn't expect and why this is happening to my life. So many things will happen to you, disturbing and slackening your determination. But don't worry. Run to the devotees, get strength from them and keep your resolution as it is. That I want Krishna, you Krishna, as number one priority of my life. And thank Him for all that is happening in our life. When we thank Him, He has to get attracted to us. In fact, it becomes our right to have Him in our life. He said in Bhagavatam, thank Him, it becomes your right. that we enter the kingdom of God. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna. So, is it is scope for question answers? So, anybody has any questions? Can ask. Yes. Sri Krishna Janmashtami is coming very soon. So, we all should prepare nicely our consciousness to have this wonderful festival. Whatever we can do for the Lord, to offer Him our sacrifice, we should do. Make this event successful and happy. It's also another opportunity to reinforce our vows and our convictions and our determination in front of the Lord. So, if there's no question, we can end. Sankirtan.